Welcome back, DGS on KMOX. Few minutes past 3 p.m. Sure, it's warmer out there than you'd like it to be, but it looks great out the KMOX window. Nice breeze. Just want to give a thought here. I was listening or watching TV, I forget which one, but BJC did an ad, and its catchphrase was, "You deserve extraordinary care." And this is not busting on BJC. My mom was at BJC Clayton for rehab, and I have zero complaints. They were great. It's more about that message, and it really struck me going through what I'm going through with my mom right now. My mom was in, I think this is her fifth facility in 2 months. Can you believe that? It was opening day when she fell.
Yeah.
Opening day.
Yeah.
And have lived a lifetime since then. And the place where she fell was not a good place, evidenced by the fact that they didn't watch her or follow any of their protocols. And she fell within 2 hours and had a spiral fracture to her hip because they didn't watch her, even though they knew that she had some dementia. And we're taking care of that, as you can expect. But the other places have been varying degrees. And of course, because you're talking about different institutions, you're talking about different people. And I've said since my dad passed away in a not very nice nursing home over on the east side, that it doesn't matter who the CEO is. It doesn't matter who the shiny, happy salesperson is. It matters who's there at 3 a.m. when you're not. And your elderly loved one, maybe with dementia, maybe not, has scooted too far down the bed, or they've gone to the bathroom and they've messed themselves, because this is real life. This is what happens in these places. It's not all, look, we have an ice cream parlor and we have a bowling alley. Well, most of the people are just going to be sitting in their chairs like zombies at any nursing home. But I say all this to say we do all really deserve extraordinary care, more when we are old and can't really take care of ourselves, and we can't represent ourselves, and we can't speak up for ourselves. And I'm at mom's facility every day, sometimes twice a day, and they know me, and I think they like me, and I think she gets better care because of that. Not that they ignore people whose families don't show up, but so many of the people in with my mom have no visitors. And so they really are at the mercy of whoever is on at noon or at 3 a.m. And I just, watching the people care for my mom, whew, what a tough gig. I mean, how many times can you get motivated to change someone's poopy diaper when you've already changed 10 and it's not even noon? And I think it would be very easy to start to see people as not people. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. this is just room 207. This is just room 416, and the light's on and they are always turning the light. It would be, I think they owe it to the people because they're professionals and because these are people who need their help. But I can see it would be very easy to get jaded. Mm-hmm. And so I'll turn 60 this year. I think I'm a young 60. That could change any time. But eventually, if I live long enough, I'll end up there. You guys, who knows what it's going to be like when you guys are at that age. But it just struck me, you know, BJC, because you deserve extraordinary care. Yes, you do. And I know what I'm paying I'm not paying, and my mom still has some money, but what we're paying for Bethesda, and I would say it's probably, I know some people pay twice as much, but if you paid less than that, like the place where mom fell was less than that, and it was just not that great. Kind of, even with that, before she fell, kind of threadbare, kind of, you know what I mean? It's like when you go into a restaurant and you're like, I hope the food's good because the place doesn't look that good. And I just really, really feel for people. And here's the other thing. I know I'm just kind of on a rant here, but make plans. You don't have to be a millionaire to protect your money. Whatever money you have, it's going to be gone $10,000 at a time, $15,000 a month, whatever level of nursing care and rehab that you can afford. But no one who's not independently wealthy can afford $10,000 or $15,000 a month without seeing their nest egg go away very quickly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when it goes away, it goes away. You know, I can attest to that, what we're going through now.
Well, my mom's last couple of days, she was at Barnes Jewish, like the main big Barnes. And I was really struck by two things, especially there, but really in her whole time in the ICU, because she was at a different place before that, a different hospital. I was struck by how great the staff at Barnes is, because they really were so far above and beyond what you could possibly ask for. And two, how there was never anyone else for all of the ICU was completely full, and I was there pretty much all day, every day for two straight days, and none of the other people ever got a visitor of any kind. No family, no friends, no well-wishers. They were all just completely alone in whatever, you know, suffering they were going through.
A lot of people have outlived everyone. Like, my mom is the last one from her family. All her siblings are gone. Obviously, her parents are gone. And I'm no spring chicken, right? So some people just outlive everybody.
Yeah. It's an interesting position to find yourself in, I think.
Yeah, my biggest advice, like, for you guys, I don't think you need a long-term care plan right now. But when you get to be in your 50s, especially if you've, you know, you have a little money, you have a nest egg, you don't you're in your 50s, you're in your 60s, you don't think about nursing homes, but things happen. And even just, like, falling and breaking a hip and not having dementia and going into rehab for a few weeks, it's gonna be hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, just I don't know anyone who can take that hit and just keep on going.
Yeah. I mean, medical bills are a very real. You guys remember when I got sued for medical bills? I mean, it'll happen. I mean, when we were like 26, 27.
Yeah.
We got slapped with a lawsuit for it.
Go ahead, Rachel.
Well, I was just going to say, it's just crazy to think in like 2016 when Bernie Sanders was first running for president and he was running on universal health care. That was his big thing. And so many people just brushed it off and was like, that's crazy. We could never do that. That's crazy. To just see how much public sentiment has changed since someone even kind of put that idea in our heads for the first time back. I mean, I had never considered like free healthcare or healthcare for all. It never crossed my mind until Bernie had brought that up. It is just crazy to see how many people have shared their stories.
And how many countries do it.
Right. And how many people have gone through an experience that they hadn't been to prior to 2016. You know what I mean? It just feels like the tides have really shifted on that. And hopefully something like that is coming soon.
Let me continue with existential thoughts. This one is quite different. But you know how we talk about people being woke? And a lot of what I see on my TikTok are people, quote unquote, waking up spiritually or existentially, or even, you know, politically or personally. I think that we're living in a time, I think it's a real thing. I don't think it's a cliche. I don't think it's just catchphrases, sound bites. I really do feel like most adults are waking up. They're just waking up to different things. Some people are waking up to Donald Trump. Some people are waking up to what I would call authoritarian populism, but they don't see it that way. They see it as the answer to all these pansies and wussies that have just made all these backroom deals and hurt us and hurt our economy and hurt our military readiness and catering to every tiny little sliver of every little sexual group. They're waking up to that. I'm waking up to different things, but don't you kind of feel that we really are in a place, maybe it was COVID, probably was, that sort of just shoved us all down and skinned our knees. And when we got up, we're like, well, what is all this? What are we doing?
I think a lot of people reevaluated their life after COVID and reevaluated their values. And, you know, like you said, people wake up to different things. I think the internet is certainly very helpful as far as like, I never had that thought before. Oh my gosh, here's a community of people who all feel the same way. And then you can kind of dive into that. So yeah, I think it does happen for a lot of people. And I think COVID was that really big launching point, because like we always say, huge traumatic worldwide event that we all just kind of brush under the rug at this point. But there were things happening outside of our control and within us that have just kind of changed the way we live our lives.
Yeah, when I think about COVID, and I've said this before, I usually just go back to, boy, those masks were scratchy, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I really think it's a way, it's like when people, and I've had many calls like this when we talk about corporal punishment, and I have childhood trauma, and I'm not ready to talk about it yet on the air, but someday maybe I will. But trust me when I say I know the difference between discipline and real trauma. And when you have people who are whipped with belts, and they'll say, like, I'm glad my dad did it. He made a man out of me. No, your dad abused you, and you probably have some pretty bad things you should work out in therapy. But I think we've done the same thing with COVID. I have watercolored it. I've sort of glossed over it. Oh, those masks were scratchy. But, I mean, millions of people were dying, and they were dying alone, and none of us really knew how bad it would get.
Well, and don't forget the fact that we were going through a period of racial unrest in the summer of 2020.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a huge thing. There was an election going on. It was, you know, one of the most bizarre elections, definitely the most bizarre of my lifetime. There was so much coming at us every day, and you had to roll with the punches. And things have slowed down a little bit, which is nice, but I think we kind of started out at a 7 on that treadmill, or an 8 or a 9, and we just kind of kept going for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So. Agreed. Good talk, Russ. Let's talk. I just realized what you were talking about on the break.
Yeah.
So Andrew does card competitions called Magic the Gathering, and he was just talking in shorthand, but what he said to Rachel was, I've decided I'm going to go back into competitive magic.
Oh, you thought like close up?
I was like,
you gave me like a weird look, well, and I was like, yeah. Oh, Dave doesn't approve. You
That's
thought I was talking about.
It's tough to imagine anything dorkier than competitive magic.
Close up illusions.
Either you guys ever get into magic tricks or
no,
illusions?
I'm not,
sorry.
I don't think I'm dexterous enough for it. I wanted to,
I don't think
but
I'm dip-essy enough for it.
Yeah, my problem is that I'm not too big a dork for it, or that I'm not enough of a dork
Look,
for
dude,
it.
Look, dude, I wore girl's shoes and a monkey mask and nunchucked, so I am not Mr. Cool, but I drew the line at magic.
I didn't know. I could see you maybe doing a magic show in between your tap dancing and karate lessons.
You know, it's really funny. So in my stand-up shows, I tell the story of how I used to give karate lessons and tap dance lessons in my basement. And I think people think I make these things up. And I think even my kids think I make these things up. And we were visiting with my mom. It was me and the kids. And mom, you know, has dementia. And she's talking about how her room is a boxing ring. And she goes, that's where they hang the heavy bag, right there. And she looks at me and she goes, remember when you had a heavy bag in the basement? I'm like, yeah. Remember when I gave lessons? She goes, oh, yeah. And she looks at the kid. She goes, this one gave karate and tap dance lessons. And they looked at me and they're like, we thought you made that up. And then she says this, she goes, oh, those neighborhood fools believed every word he said.
No, you know, I don't do magic because if I knew magic tricks,
you would be doing them all the time.
All the time. Yeah. No, 24/7. I would be like in here on the breaks, like pick a card, any card. I would never stop doing it.
Maybe I was dorky enough, but I didn't have the motivation. It looked difficult.
Yeah.
It seems really hard to learn to get good at all the tricks.
Mm-hmm. The only one I ever knew was the
pulling your thumb off.
Yeah, which I also can't do now. I forgot.
I also don't think qualifies as magic.
I've forgotten how to do that one too.
I just remember the first time like a pseudo magician was like, I think you have something behind your ear, and they pulled a dime from behind my ear, and I was like, what? Like, I was young enough to where I really thought that it had been living back there for my entire life. Like,
and that was just last year. 334 DGS on KMOX. Pretty day out there. Dave, how are we looking?
Andrew's done his magical tricks to make a beautiful day.
Well, you're welcome.
He is a competitor.
It's gorgeous out there. And the evening is spectacular. For whatever plans you might have.
Nice. Yeah. Andrew helped me take the top down on my Jeep today, so count on it.
All right.
I definitely did it right, and it's not going to pop up on you randomly while you're driving.
Yeah.
I can be
just
trusted.
The hood. He forgot to latch the hood down, so that's coming up.
I'm like, hey, can you help me take the top down of my Jeep? And he goes down, and he's like, sure, and he grabs a headlight and starts unscrewing it. I'm like, No.
Suddenly there are lots of spiders in your car.
And mice.
Little mouse. Yeah.
So anything on the horizon, Dave?
Yeah, you know, tomorrow's a spectacular day from start to finish. Friday evening is wonderful. We have a cool front that's going to be coming through down in this northwest flow. Typically, a northwest flow is dry, low humidity, very pleasant temperatures. But the northwest flow, as I've always said, never trust the northwest flow because it does send these little cool fronts down from time to time. Not a lot of moisture to work with, but on Saturday, a front will come through. I think we have a changeable sky, a mix of clouds and sunshine. Saturday, a shot at some thunderstorms first thing in the morning, really early. They move in, they move out quickly. And then, depending on what the atmosphere does, we have another shot mid to late day on Saturday if they can get redeveloped out ahead of the front. So kind of keep that in mind. It's not a washout day. 79 for the high on Saturday. Sunday, partly sunny and 81. Overall, it looks pretty good, but Saturday is a little unsettled at times.
Yeah, but nothing severe, right?
I don't think so.
Cool. Headlines, Rach.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right, Ford is saying that drivers can take their eyes off of the road in just 2 years. They're 2 years away from offering technology that will allow drivers to take their eyes off the road and their hands off the wheel.
I'm either curmudgeonly or smart, but I still just don't trust it.
Nope, either do I.
Just
same
don't
with
trust
you.
It.
Same.
They're going to, I think there's some out there already, but the move is to get as many semis as possible diesel trucks out there that are self-driven, and I don't like that as well. One, I don't like it because it takes away jobs, but I also don't like it because I will still trust the flawed, mistake-ridden human being over a computer program. And again, it's probably my age, but I'm just not ready for it.
I'm not ready for it either, and I want to give a shout-out to truck drivers out there because you really notice when someone is bad at that job because it's incredibly scary to be next to them on the road.
Yeah.
And it's just a reminder of like how many of them are really good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of driving, a rideshare driver shot a naked man who was assaulting a woman. So this happened in California, and the rideshare driver said he acted on a fight or flight response. He was dropping off a passenger when he noticed a man running towards the woman, a naked man. The driver took immediate action and fired off a warning shot, which didn't stop the man from attacking the victim. The suspect was kneeling on her and slamming her head against the ground, so he fired a shot, hitting the attacker in the neck. He
Good.
Called 911 right away. The suspect is in critical but stable condition, and the rideshare driver was questioned but later released with no charges.
I have zero problem with that. You guys?
Agree.
No,
agree.
Not at all.
No, definitely not.
A poll looked at firearms, and Americans are divided on whether...
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
I know as a lawyer that, let's say he didn't have a gun, and he just tackled the guy. I know you can't beat him to death, because once you get him subdued, that's all you can do. You know, it's you know, I wouldn't care if you beat him to death. Just as a person, if you're naked... at running and jumping on a woman and beating her head on the ground.
Right.
Beat him to death.
Americans are divided on whether the average person should be trusted with firearms. According to a new YouGov survey, 43% of respondents said the average American could be trusted with a gun, while 42% said they could not. Which I find to be an interesting question, because I don't think anyone who hasn't been trained can be trusted with a gun. So I wonder how exactly they worded this.
This is not an attack on the police, but on my TikTok, periodically it'll show me a lot of police shootings. And most of them, not all of them, but most of them are the police screaming for their lives and running backwards and shooting. Mm. It's not like Starsky and Hutch. Every now and then you'll see someone square up. Both hands on the weapon, boom, take the guy out. You see that. But I think, Rach, to your point, even when you are trained, fully trained, until you are facing that situation, you don't know how you're going to react.
And training is so important. I think people take it lightly, and it's like, what could be more serious than handling a weapon like that?
No, I remember when I went in and bought my first firearm and a holster, and walked out of there and could carry it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is crazy.
And, you know, that's part of our Second Amendment rights. But, I mean, that training part is so essential and so key. And just realizing you have to have safety protocols. You can't just go out, you know, I don't know who I'm talking to right now. All right. Voters support drug tests for Biden and Trump. This is according to a recent Daily Mail survey. 70% of respondents believe both candidates should undergo pharmaceutical screening before they face off on June 27th and September 10th.
And afterwards. Before and after.
I mean, for the fun of it, sure. I don't like what it does for the country, but yeah.
Only 18% of people thought that the drug tests were unnecessary.
Wow.
Obviously, Trump has previously claimed that Biden was under the influence of something during his State of the Union address in March. So I think that's why it's on everybody's mind.
I mean, I'm under the influence of Red Bull right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it gives me wings, makes me a little funnier, makes, you know, I don't sleep so well. So if I'm going to be debating for the Oval Office and I can take something,
Taylor Swift made a rare social media comment. Does anyone care to hear it?
Sure.
She doesn't usually comment on social media.
This is nationwide news.
So people were commenting on videos of Taylor Swift performing in Portugal, and some commenters were speculating that they saw a baby bump on the singer, saying she's pregnant. Mm. She didn't say anything about that, but people were doing the same thing to Lady Gaga on Lady Gaga videos. And Lady Gaga responded and said, "I'm not pregnant, I'm just down bad crying at the gym," which is cute and funny thing to say. Swift then commented on the video posting, "Can we all agree that it is invasive and irresponsible to comment on a woman's body? Gaga doesn't owe anyone an explanation, and neither does any woman." So she's kind of speaking for herself there, too.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like she's pregnant.
I was going to say, that's what I would say if I was.
Final story here. IKEA will pay people to work in its Roblox store. So I don't really know much about Roblox. My niece Catherine plays it and really likes it. Do you know about the Roblox situation?
No.
Is it kind of like Minecraft?
It's a kid's thing, I know.
Yeah, like it's a child's game.
Kid's game.
Not like competitive magic.
Not like competitive magic at all. And it's super popular. I know that much.
So it's a... The Coworker game is launching on June 24th, and it allows players to experience working in IKEA's virtual universe. And they are going to pick 10 players who will be paid for the work, even if that work involves serving endless amounts of meatballs. That's just an IKEA joke. But I thought that was really interesting. They're going to have this online space, and you can go into the IKEA and shop and work there, and they're going to select 10 people to be actual employees to work there and get paid the same amount as a regular IKEA employee.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No shade to IKEA.
Mm-hmm.
No shade to people working at IKEA.
Mm-hmm.
But people are going to pretend to work at IKEA, and if you win, you get to work at IKEA?
Yeah, so Roblox there is an element I know of, like, Second Life, right? Remember Second Life?
Couldn't you just go work at IKEA?
Well,
you don't have to leave the comfort of your own home.
And plus, if you're, like, 8, you can't work at IKEA. Unless it's in a game.
Well, they have to be 18.
But once you win...
Yeah.
The job, you have to go into IKEA.
No. It's in the Roblox universe. So you are working from home.
Yeah, you'd be a paid employee in the game.
Accomplishing anything?
You're getting paid, apparently.
Yeah, that's a great question, Dave. I don't understand. Maybe I shouldn't have done this story because I don't understand exactly what it is they're doing. I don't know if they're operating like an online store and you can buy a couch in the Roblox and then they'll ship it to your home. I don't know how this works.
I doubt that just because it is primarily a game for children, so I doubt that they are allowing children to...
Mommy, again. I ordered another couch.
Buy furniture. But, you know, I mean, you remember like that thing at the Magic House where you can pretend to have a job or whatever. You can pretend to be a travel agent for a field trip or whatever.
Sure.
I think it's maybe something more akin to that, right?
Okay.
So you can go in there and pretend like you're shopping or whatever, and then these people would... be maybe pretend sales reps.
Okay, that makes more sense.
And be paid for it. That's my assumption. I don't know. That's my guess as to what it would be.
That was my final story.
Okay. And I will be applying for that.
Ending on a whimper there with the IKEA Roblox.
But, no, it got heated there for a second. I was going to call him out like, what the hell? The grand prize is you work at IKEA? No offense. And you get to work at Walmart. Like, wow. I'm going to study real hard, Mom and Dad. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Nothing up my sleeve.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we have a doctor associated with the Smithsonian who says that we human beings have been in North America and in the United States proper, as we call it now, for something like 23,000 years, thousands of years earlier than what we have thought, which seems to be what's going on in the world of archaeology. So that should be interesting to talk to him. What do we have for audio?
Okay, I've got kind of a silly piece of audio, but it's funny. It's a man who runs a private jet company, I guess, getting a call from a girl putting together a bachelorette party who is worried that maybe economy is too expensive so she could save some money on a private jet.
$400 round trip, is that round trip, I'm assuming, right? You said you had 13 people, so you're looking at spending $5,000 total to get from LA to Nashville. So we wanted to compare the $5,000 versus chartering a private jet from LA to Nashville.
Correct.
Got it. Okay. So our pricing specifically for 12 people, we would need something like a Gulfstream G4. I'd probably recommend something like a G5. It's a little bit larger, a little bit more comfortable. It will have a private flight attendant on board. From LA to Nashville and back, you're looking at about $80,000. So 100%. Going to be more expensive than American Airlines economy.
I mean, he's a little condescending, but also at the same time, like, economy versus a private jet. I could get thinking a private jet is not as expensive as it is, but to think it's going to be cheaper than economy class is, it's a little silly.
Yeah.
So I have private jet questions. Okay. You know people, Dave, that have private jets.
Mm-hmm.
I do not. So when Taylor Swift, for example... She
Dave's
owns
good friend.
Yes.
There's one example.
Who you would know very well. She owns that jet, right?
Yeah.
And then she doesn't own the pilot, but does she employ him?
Typically,
does he only fly her jet?
There are a couple ways you can do it. You can do almost like a timeshare where you own a portion of a jet and then you just have to work it out with the other 10 or 20 or 30 people that own the jet with you and you all share those expenses. But if you own the jet, then typically you will hire a pilot and a co-pilot and you're going to pay them... let's say $150,000 a piece and they're per diems. And let's say that you fly from St. Louis to Vegas for 3 days and they are going to stay there. You pay for their room and board as well.
Hmm.
So to own a private jet is very expensive. To operate a private jet is very expensive. And just one of those expenses, typically, if you own the jet, is paying for your pilot and co-pilot all the time. So if you're sitting in St. Louis and you're not flying for a month, you're still paying them.
Yeah, because they have to.
They're your pilots.
Yeah, they have to go with you.
Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
If you could name a private jet, what would you name it? Ramjet jet?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
The Ramjet.
We really only have time for one of these shorter pieces of audio, okay. Andrew. So which one would you like to play?
Let's just play the Trump one just because I thought this was funny and it's the shortest one.
Would you declassify the 9/11 files?
Yeah.
Would you declassify JFK files?
Yeah.
Would you,
I did a lot of it.
Would you declassify the Epstein files?
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
Attorney General.
That was the cut. They made a hard, because he clearly said a bunch more stuff and Fox hard cut away.
Cut from the Epstein
cut, cut,
stuff.
Cut, 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 cut.